Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sandspence Radio. New year, new me, more footy!
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys, how good's footy?
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Welcome to 2019, everyone. The season has officially started and we have seen some football.
Actual live football in person. It was there. There was a footy. It was going through goals. I almost forgot how the game went for a bit because it's been so fucking long. And they started and I was like, where's the small round red ball that goes into the three sticks? That's cricket, Tom!
Did you get the head spins, Thomas?
I did actually get the head spins. I got a stress headache from watching the footy. I forgot that part of footy.
Yeah.
But it is stressful and it does give you a headache. It's a physical experience. I forgot how physically into the game I get as well. I was very sore.
Did you stand up too much?
I stood up a lot, mate. I stood up a lot. My dad was trying to take a photo of me standing up so he could send it to you two to prove that I stand up at the footy. So thanks, Dad, for getting into my corner.
Sean, did you get any photos of Tom standing up? Because I don't think I did. So this all could potentially be a myth.
I think a bunch of lies.
Yep.
Fuck, that's harsh.
So before we jump into the round that was and Tom's performance and maybe a review of Geelong overall.
Yeah. Yep. My first time there.
Great town.
So as this is...
fuck you.
Wait, your first time in Geelong?
Yeah, it actually was.
Holy shit. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second because more importantly, it's the start of the 2019 season, which means that we've probably got some new listeners on board. So we should probably explain a few How Good's Footy tropes, terms. I don't know what to call them.
Some things that How Good's Footy and a bit about how we make How Good's Footy... Why we think How Good's Footy is
who we are and why How Good's Footy.
Who we are and How Good's Footy.
Yes.
They're the two questions we will answer today. We may not answer the second one completely, but we'll give it a crack.
All right, Tom, you've already mentioned who you barrack for, sort of, vaguely, but you can go
St.
first.
Kilda. Big St. Kilda man. No, I'm a Geelong boy and I'm from Geelong. Great town. We have many great things. Big sexy land, footy team. And a pretty big sexy land. They're the two highlights. I'm sure you saw the big sexy land on the way in. So I'm a Geelong supporter. I have been. My whole family's Geelong. My brother's Port Adelaide. We don't know why. It's a bit whatever. It's fine. He's just, outcast.
Excommunicated.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's in the basement. my family are mad Geelong. I got it from my dad. And he's just a mad Geelong supporter to the extent where when I was a kid growing up and Geelong playing on the weekend, and I've said this story to these guys before, if Geelong were playing and they won on a Sunday, we'd have a roast for dinner. So Dad would have all the ingredients ready to go anyway.
Yep.
Hoping the result would be positive. If Geelong lost, Dad would not have the the joy in his heart to cook a roast, and it was toasted sandwiches.
Perfect.
Which is something we have embraced. So when your team, for How Good's Footy, if your team wins, you get a roast. If your team loses, you get a toast. We haven't come up with what the draw, I think a draw is like a roast, cold roast sandwich.
Oh, I feel like a draw is like maybe the coldest toast of all.
Well, it depends though. Did you come back from behind and draw, or did you, were you leading all day?
Either way, it doesn't feel good. It's a comeback cut short. Or a win stolen.
It's an empty feeling.
It's
so
no
maybe
good.
You just don't eat.
Yeah, it's a fast.
Yeah. Fast. So toast, roast, or fast. And that's me.
Imagine a double draw. One after the other.
you do what GWS did that year where they had two back-to-back.
Did they actually?
The year before, they had that one against Hawthorn and the one against Geelong, or the other way around.
I would have wasted away.
Yeah, which is... That's why they weren't that good this year. They had so many injuries because they had at least a period last year where they didn't eat.
A hunger strike
for 48 hours? That's not how weeks work, Tom. 2 weeks, 14 days.
Well, luckily, I don't barrack for GWS. I barrack for a more successful team, the Brisbane Lions.
No, but they were successful.
Yeah, in their day. Which, sadly, when Brisbane won 3 grand finals in a row, I would have been 12, 13, 14 years old.
It's weird to meet someone who peaked when they were 14.
Yeah. I didn't appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Tom. There you go.
But I didn't appreciate it because I just thought it would happen. Like, I remember we won the first one and Dad said to me and my brother, he goes, enjoy this, boys, because it won't happen again. And then we won the next year. And we're like, yeah, shut up, Dad. And then we won again. And then he was like, I'm serious. I'm like, shut up. And then we didn't do anything for 10 years. So, and here we are.
Every September, does your dad just like knock on your door? Sean, son, remember what I said all those years ago? How does it feel now?
my advice.
My dad's a funny one because he's just sort of lost interest in the game. Like, he'll watch it from time to time, but he wouldn't be able to name a Brisbane player anymore, I don't reckon.
Does he think Brownie and Acker are still like that?
He actually thinks, like, you'd go, hey, Dad, name a Brisbane player, Jonathan Brown. It's like, doesn't play anymore, Dad. It's been 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Doesn't know it. And he's one of those people, too, who'll watch the game and he'll crack the shits at the umpires. And it's like, Dad, they changed that rule 10 years ago.
To be fair, they change the rule every 8 minutes.
Yeah,
so,
true.
I mean, I watched the one season and then I'll watch the next season and I still get angry about a rule that I thought was a rule but isn't anymore.
Yeah, so, no, fair enough. I must admit, up until about the age of 8, I barracked for Essendon. I wasn't as into the game. And also, Dad was kind of like, listen, son, we're not going to 2 sets of games. Your older brother barracks for Brisbane. That's what you're going to have to do. So, moved over to Brisbane. And I think the year after that, they won the Wooden Spoon. So, I wasn't jumping on the bandwagon like many a Hawthorn supporter. But, yeah, Brisbane, I love Michael Voss. End of story.
If you had to get a tattoo, would you just get a tattoo of him with that glove? It's like punch in the air.
The fist.
I put this to you. Has there been a better handballer?
Yes.
And I mean, when you get tackled, and Michael Voss had this ability to get his hands above it and fire off a 30-meter bullet of a handball. There's never been anyone better.
Yes.
Who?
Koutafidis.
Shut up. No. What, for 1 year? Listen, this is how I feel about Anthony Koutafidis. He had 1 good year.
He had 1 good quarter.
He had a good half.
Statistically, the best quarter, but like really.
Fuck him and fuck his Carlton mates.
Polly Farmer.
You're going back a long way.
But
you've gone back so far it's black and white TV.
Yes, but he could handball a footy between 2 cars. Right, with their windows rolled down, he'd be standing a few metres back, would handball through the car windows, and it would go through the other side.
A few players could do that.
Yeah, sure.
Michael Voss is probably one of them.
But think about when
could Polly Farmer do it while he's been tackled?
Probably. I'd never got to see him. I didn't have a TV back then. I wasn't alive.
Yeah.
He's a legend, though, Farmer.
Yeah, so is Michael Voss.
Not yet.
I'll die on the hill defending Michael Voss.
No, but like, I mean, technically, Farmer is a legend.
Yep, not true. Fair enough.
And Voss isn't, but he will be.
He will be.
Yep. Speaking of future legends, so I'm Joel Dusha. And just reminding players of performing really well whilst being tackled takes me back to 2009 when Zaharakis kicked maybe the perfect goal. Who's being snapped in half? And it was raining. Kicked a goal from 50, which was, in actual fact, the greatest Anzac Day victory ever.
Is it your favourite ever Essendon moment?
Oh.
Does it trump like the 2000 grand final?
See, the 2000 grand final is really weird for me because at no point did we look like we were going to lose that.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like we went into, like, I was young. I would have been like 10.
Yeah. Did you not appreciate it?
Oh, like, I remember being really excited.
Yeah.
And I remember being devastated the next year when we fucking lost to a bunch of Queensland pricks.
Thank you.
Dirty fighting bastards.
Toughest team ever.
Love punching and yep. not punching.
Yeah.
Get back to me when you can land a hit.
Lynchy. Good old windmills.
Yeah. So, like, that one's a little bit weird. The Essendon-North Melbourne comeback, I remember, like, losing my mind as a kid about. Just, like, here it was 66 points down. And usually, like, that young, I would have totally lost interest. But I remember I was in my garage. I think I was skateboarding. Just around in a circle listening to it. And it was just, like, mental.
Tom, how old were you when Geelong won their premierships?
I was 16.
Yeah.
In 07, and then 18, 19... For 18 and 20. So I was old enough to get on board, appreciate to celebrate it. In the town of Geelong. They opened up the sexy land all night.
Yeah.
They actually shut the town down. Like, they locked off all the streets and there was parties in the streets.
Yeah.
Obviously, for the 07 one, I wasn't out
yes.
in the thick of it. I was at a barbecue.
Yeah.
But the 09 one, I went out and I had a great time. And at 3 a.m. I was really drunk and a stranger bought me a kebab.
Oh.
We sang the Geelong theme song in the taxi line together. And had
this was a pre-Uber time.
This is pre-Uber. Yeah, it's 2009 taxi rank.
How long was that line?
Oh, mate. Went for miles. Days, but no one cared. Everyone was in a great mood.
No one was in a hurry to get home that night.
The DJ at the club that we went to that night had the easiest night in the world because he just put on the Geelong theme song between every set. And just like, so if the song hadn't quite landed, he'd be like, oh, I know what will. It was great.
How many times do you reckon you heard the song that night?
Oh, probably 800.
Yeah. What happened more? You hearing that song or beers you consumed? Or was it neck and neck?
It was a dead heat. In fact, I think at one point we started a game where you had to drink once it came on. So you knew you were every 4 minutes you were smashing a drink.
Shit.
And I was 18, so I hadn't really got good at drinking beer. So I was Excuse me. I've lifted, but no, I was drinking like
Cruisers or something.
Cruisers and Jimmy Beams and
Tom.
I was
Geelong filth. Absolute Geelong filth.
I was the Dermot Brereton of drinking, just flashy and a little bit nuts. It was good. It's good times.
So we've covered one thing that comes up a lot in How Good's Footy, which is toast or roast. We've got a few other things that you just to get everyone up to speed with some of the terminology we is unique to this show. But feel free to use it outside of the show and hopefully it spreads to the wider footy community.
Use a roast or toast when you're playing Uno. If you don't win Uno, you only get toast. And if you do win Uno, you get to eat that roast all by yourself.
So I think maybe the most obvious one that has huge crossover appeal is a term that we have for players who leave our club and go to another club. And that is TC, which is short for traitorous C-bomb.
There's no other way to put it. Sean, you coined this phrase. What inspired this term? Was there a specific moment or player?
I believe it was around the time when club legend Michael Voss was sacked as coach and five young players decided to go home and ripped my heart out and you brand them traitors. And just saying traitor alone or traitorous was not enough. I had to go harder. So I did and I stand by it and I use it to this day and they're everywhere, mate. It hit my club hard.
It did.
Things have started to turn around now and there's a bit more. I respect loyalty in footy. I don't know how I feel about free agency, unless, of course, I benefit directly from it.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, the TC policy it only applies if you're not benefiting.
Yeah.
It's a very hypocritical rule.
Yeah. Lachie Neal, not a TC.
No.
A hero.
Gary Rowan, Dalhouse, not TCs.
Dylan Scheel, GWS, not a club. So it's fine for Essendon to have him.
Yep.
Mel Hickey, not a TC. Champion. No. She's a captain.
No.
Yeah.
Gavin Wanganeen, some would call him one of the greatest players in NFL history. I'd call him a TC.
Yeah.
But also one of the greatest.
Yeah. He's great. Until he put on the wrong colours.
Did he win? He won a flag for both, didn't he?
Yeah.
If there was a hall of fame for TCs, the bloke whose face would be on that building is Dane Beams.
Whoa. I don't know. Vice captain Gaz.
I reckon there's a bigger one. Because now Gaz isn't
going to Beans is home. Worse because of the circumstances. Stole money, Tom. He stole it.
He didn't actually steal
money. He took it out of my pocket as a member of that club and he spat in my face. The thing that annoys me the most, more than anything, he's a huge TC. It's when I walked into the AFL shop recently and I saw the Brisbane Lions 2019 calendar.
No.
Dame Beams is in the calendar.
Oh, that must have
been. Repay the club so they can print that shit again. I'm not buying that. It's a disgrace, Beams.
What month?
Oh, I can't remember what month he was.
Because you know what?
He's on the cover.
That month's not happening.
Nah, rip it out.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not September.
Jeez.
Oh, that's awkward.
Just in case it also wasn't very, very clear, How Good's Footy is an incredibly biased and uneducated show. We love footy and we think we understand most of it, but occasionally we are super, super, super wrong.
Yep. You came here for balance and factual accuracy.
Whoops,
basically. Because we think our teams are great and we will tell you our teams are great. And we know that people... No, think that their teams are great, even when they're not that good.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean,
I'm going to be with these two.
Brisbane Lions.
Yeah.
Wooden Spooners 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So 2017.
Yeah.
Finished bottom four 2018.
Yep.
What are they doing in 2019?
Look, I've looked at the draw and I'll be honest with you because you've got to be realistic.
Yeah. Yep.
Premiership. Huge chance. I'm so excited.
Hey, Dusha.
Yes.
The year that... half of Essendon got banned.
Mm.
At the start of that year, what were you thinking for your club?
My only thought was, I can't wait to steal a win very early on and everyone to lose their minds. And that's exactly what happened. And it was good. I wasn't thinking flags. I was thinking short term.
Yeah.
I was thinking that one game we win, and it's going to happen soon, will be mental. And it was. It was fucking huge. And then later on, I was like, oh, maybe we could sneak. After we won that one, I was like, imagine we come together like the Mighty Ducks. Imagine we slip into the finals. That didn't happen, but imagine how great it would have been.
Oh, you would have flying V'd your way into history, mate.
Heading into this season, though, Bombers, what are you thinking?
So last year, I feel we underperformed in the first half of the year. Second half of the year, finished very strong, shared similar characteristics to a fucking freight train. Personally, I think that we are a big chance to go all the way.
Yeah.
I'd be disappointed if we didn't... Look, I'd be heartbroken if we didn't make the eight.
Yeah.
Bit disappointed if we didn't make top four.
Yeah. Now, Tom.
Yes.
On this show.
Yes.
We like to be realistic.
Yes.
And factual.
Yes. Yep.
And often we like to comment on the fact that the Geelong Premiership window is fucking closed.
It's done.
Yeah. So, while I was in Geelong recently...
Yeah, doing some research.
I went to the window. I had a look at it. Yep. I checked it out. And I took a fucking crowbar and I smashed that son of a bitch back open. Because it's on.
Yeah.
Mate, that window, that has a Tom Hawkins-sized hole in it. He's a big unit.
It's weird, Sean, because I thought you needed speed to win a flag these days.
Oh. Nah, that's West Coast in 2005 and 06. The other big one for us that you'll hear us throw around a lot throughout the year is because we are so passionate, we care about our teams winning, but we also have strategies for when they're losing because, you know, we've got to be realistic here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things don't go too well. So we take a leaf out of Premiership coach Luke Beveridge's book. On the record, he allegedly had a two-hour chat with Alistair Clarkson leading up to the grand final. And the rest, as they say, is history. So we often recommend that players and coaches that need to lift, go and have a two-hour chat. So if you ever hear us talking about going and have a two-hour chat, that's all you need. It's just 2 hours. Depending on the caliber of the player. Lee Matthews, 5 minutes.
Yep.
5 minutes with Lethal, that's all you need.
It's a five-minute chat, but you get 2 hours worth of information.
Yeah, two hours of content in 5 minutes. Yeah.
It's a bit like The Matrix where they learn Kung Fu. You just sit with Lee Matthews. He just says the one thing, and all of a sudden you go,
yep.
Oh, I understand.
Yep.
You go, the point post. Whoa. Break it.
Ah, you mean win the flag. No. Just break the fucking point post.
Have you not seen the clip? It's very famous. it's kind of the opposite of How Good's Footy because you get 60 minutes of content here and you learn nothing.
Whereas you get double the content and learn something. Mm. Wait, double the time?
And learn heaps.
Triple the content.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a famous instance last season of a two-hour chat.
I got some bad news for you. I remember who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Dane Beams.
No, it was Zorko.
It was Zorko. It was the other Dane.
It was the other Dane.
My mistake. Oh, yeah, the magician.
The magician, yeah.
He magicked himself away and then came back. It's fucking did a sleight of hand. It was like first like five rounds. Where am I? Who fucking knows? Disappearing act.
Came back. Won the best and fairest.
Fair enough. He was probably the best.
Who was that 2-hour chat with?
Sean Carney.
Yeah. I called him up. Gave him nothing. And then I think he also talked to Crawford and Simon Black and they set him straight. But I'll claim it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
forever.
It was your constant calls and him eventually answering and being like, mate, you need to lose this number.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, fuck off. And then I knew I hung up. Well, he hung up on me, yeah. But I knew that he was fired up again.
Yeah.
And then he took that passion into the next game and he dominated.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually sent you a thank you text. He said, I can't talk to you on the phone because I don't want to ruin the mojo. And you understood, Sean.
That's true.
You
That's
understood.
True. Framed yeah. that text, though.
When he won that best and fairest, he like, you know, Breakfast Club fist pumped the air. It freeze framed and you just sat there and nodded.
Yep.
And that was you.
That's me.
You did that.
Yep.
It's huge. 2-hour charts are vital. I'm expecting that Joe Danaher is probably going to need one.
Ooh, I think his hip and groin are going to need it.
Yeah.
Joe knows what Joe needs to do. It's yeah. The rest of his body. His body's too long.
He played a practice match recently on Hurley, seemed fit, had none of the ball, which is worrying.
Nah, but Hurley's very good.
Yeah, that's true. All Australian.
You know, and Joe, again, he's too tall. They should just shave about 3 centimetres off him.
Or just lose the mustache.
Mm.
Does he still have it?
I think so.
I think he needs the mustache.
Is it his superpower?
I think he needs to grow it more. I think he needs to go to Mitch Brown and get his mustache.
I reckon,
by the master of seedy mustaches.
Yeah. So one thing that we noticed last season was that if a player shaved their head to become more aerodynamic, their skill set lifted exponentially, yeah. As seen with the most aerodynamic man maybe we saw on the field at all last year. And don't say Gary Ablett. He was fine.
He had some stubble.
It was Tom Bell Chambers who fucking came out of the... I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I just know that he was
aerodome?
Great.
Is that where aerodynamic things come from? He burst out of the... No, he burst out of the blocks because he's following in the footsteps of, you know...
He flew off the runway.
Yeah.
The air around him just was so smooth.
Yeah.
We think... Yeah, so that's another big one is aerodynamic players.
Yeah, because he grew his hair back a little bit towards the end of the season.
Faded a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Although it's hard to stand out when your entire team is just making a mess of any team that lays in front of them.
That is true. I did notice that Gary Ablett sort of has slowed down as his beard has grown. It's dragging him down a bit.
He's going to be playing more forward. So I think he actually needs to grow the beard to anchor himself in place. Because if he's clean shaven, he's too aerodynamic and he's just all over the place. Mm.
Yeah, no, fair point.
Grow that beard. Keep him locked in. Dangerfield, shave everything, mate.
Mm.
Eyebrows, pluck your eyelashes, nose hairs, go bald. Just shave every hair on you. I'll do it.
And close your mouth.
Why?
I'm just getting a bit chatty.
Oh, I love it.
Wow.
Steady on, danger.
Are you in that camp?
I'm a bit over him. I'm sick of hearing about him. It's all right. All right, mate. The season's too long, but I'll take $50,000 to play AFLX.
Mate, would you?
Yeah, I would.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I would be the player going, season's not long enough. Give me more games.
Well, no, he's the head of the AFL Players Association. He's who's actively advocated for a second bye during the year for fitness.
What
and
are
stuff.
Their reasons for not granting that?
Gil gave you a reason for something.
Gil.
He just gumbied in there in his big dumb suit that never fits and was like, oh, this is the way it's going to be, little darling.
We're not fond of Gil on this show.
No, we love footy, but we hate the man who runs it.
Someone needs to have an 18-hour chat with Gil.
It wouldn't be enough.
Nah, I just lock him in a cage and an 18-hour chat with Mick Martin. Just, just put him in there. But look.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
After a long and arduous summer. Guys.
This has been the longest AFL drought in history, I reckon.
I think it was longer than the one last year, which was the same.
I think that on paper, the time, if you look at it, logically, the time was exactly the same. But this year, it felt at least four times longer.
Guys, this is not just a footy podcast. This is a science podcast, because that's the theory of relativity, my friends. Einstein said that no footy feels like forever or something similar to that. I'm pretty sure.
E equals MC, no footy forever.
E equals MC gold square, I think, is the fully one. But yeah, we finally got it, guys. And I tell you what, I fucking love footy. I never didn't. I never forgot. But you know when you have a movie that you love and you watch it a lot and then you haven't seen that movie for a really long time and then you decide just on a whim to rewatch. It's on TV, right? You don't actively seek it out, but it's on TV and you just pop it on. And about 5 minutes in, you're just like, fucking love this movie. Mm-hmm. Can't believe I forgot. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt Saturday night at 6:45 when that lead up to the bounce of that ball. I was like, I fucking love footy.
Yeah.
I was shaking. I was so excited. I was like a fucking child at Christmas. Like, you don't understand. It was, it was good. Mm. It's great atmosphere.
There was, wasn't it?
We should dive in on that.
Yeah.
So obviously, AFLW round one kicked off. Geelong, it's inaugural season, started off the best way possible.
Mm.
Beat fucking Collingwood.
Loved that.
Loved it.
Yeah.
By 1 point, Tom.
Oh, what a result. Huge. Massive. I've not been to a women's footy game, and I know it's hot in summer. Fuck, they should play footy in summer. You get a night like you had where it was about 26 by the time the game started. Beautiful, perfect night for footy. Yep. Perfect. Footy all year round is what I'm saying. Every weather condition. Because the weather, looks real good.
Get Paddy Dangerfield on the phone and be like, mate, we're giving you a second bye. Bad news, though, it's a 48-week round.
Yeah.
A 48-week season.
I like how you've given him a couple of weeks off here and there.
No, the couple of weeks off is for
Christmas,
finals. 4 weeks of finals. 52 weeks.
Yeah. Why is he getting 4 weeks off?
Because he's the president.
No, but he's playing. He'll be in the finals.
Mm. Will he, though, if he plays for Geelong?
You're a bag of fucks.
I hate you. How early did you get to the ground, Tom?
So, gates opened at 5.
Yes.
My folks were keen to get there early. Mum wanted to be... So, it was not a ticketed event, so you sit anywhere. So, we actually have reserve seats down there. We're behind the goals at the river end of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Good seats, so we are here. It's fantastic. Mum was like, I want to be on the wing.
Oh.
And I want to sit in the nice section.
Oh, so there's a nice section.
Well, the Brownlow stand reopened last year. There's some nice new seats there. We've never really sat there. So we sat on the wing about 4 or 5 rows back in the shade. Magnificent. We were there at about 10 past four.
Ooh.
10 past five, sorry. Not 10 past four. 10 past five. So we were early.
Did you have to line up?
No. I think because it was hot, a lot of people started to arrive from about 5:36. But within half an hour, that whole area we were in was full. We went early. It was odd because we parked the car and then you walk down to the ground because we park it a bit further away. Normally, you're walking with like all these people, but there wasn't as many people because people were coming from different places and a lot of people who were already there
Yep.
And a lot of people arrived late once it cooled down a bit.
Yeah.
Great night for footy. Great time for footy, though.
Did you get a commemorative ticket?
I did get a commemorative. Who's on your commemorative ticket,
Sean? Didn't get one, mate.
I'm fucking sorry. What?
Yeah, I didn't get one.
Did they not have one?
Well, we were running a little bit late. I missed almost all the first quarter, unfortunately. So I'm assuming they ran out or I don't know. Because when did you get it? You come through security.
Yep.
And then there's a guy there at the gate and you just walk in.
Well, did you work through a turnstile?
Yeah, we did.
Yep. Yeah, well, when I came through the turnstile, there was a woman handing him out.
They must have run out, possibly.
Surely not.
I don't know what happened there, mate. I was a bit disappointed by that.
I got mine. I was pretty happy. Bec Goring, captain.
Yep.
Acting captain, vice captain, captain of the VFL team last year. Mm-hmm. Very happy with that. Yep. Mate, you missed out.
Yeah, I really, a bit bummed out, Tom. A bit bummed out.
But do you know what would have lifted your spirits?
What's that, Dusha?
Pretty great game.
Oh,
fantastic game.
Fucking awesome game.
Loved the atmosphere, Tom.
The Geelong got around it.
Nice stadium.
It's good.
Got some questions.
Okay.
The dimensions, what are they? It looks like a small ground to me.
It is narrow, but it's reasonably long. Like, it's not a wide ground.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a lot narrower than I think it's very a lot narrower than the MCG.
Mm.
But I think lengthwise, it's actually quite long.
Mm.
It's not as short as the SCG, where the forward 50 arcs are in the center square.
Yeah,
but it is a narrower ground, and you'll notice throughout the year, teams will like Geelong will use that as an advantage, especially if teams are kicking out from the river end, because there's a bit of a swirly breeze in that pocket, and they'll underestimate how close the boundary is. And you watch Geelong will just force them over to kick to that right hand side. 8 times out of 10, it'll go out on the full, or it'll get punched over the line.
Huge home ground advantage.
Yeah, great home disgusting. Ground
advantage. I love it.
Hey, I don't care for it.
No, that's how every
regulation home or nothing.
Be.
It's a disgrace, Tom.
Do you know what I love about our sport? Hmm. Is that no stadium has the same dimensions for our national game.
Have Hellhole Stadium, did they not try and mimic the MCG?
They did. They try to make it very similar, but it's not the same size.
Yeah.
McG is still biggest.
I'm assuming it's a lot bigger than Cat Park.
It is a lot bigger. I think, again, it's a lot wider.
Yep.
But I think lengthwise, it's not too dissimilar.
Yeah. Just quickly, Hellhole Stadium is...
Oh, Optus Stadium. The reason we call it Hellhole Stadium is because it eats people.
Yeah, it's basically like a brief awful. Visit to hell for any players. Hamstrings, knees, ankles, groins. It is the ground that damaged Buddy Franklin last year, claimed Joe Danaher.
Gary Ablett. Cockatoo.
And Cam even Guthrie. Quite often it turned on its own as well.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
It's a monster, that stadium. Mm. They have to appease it somehow. We're not entirely sure what they do to keep it sated.
Satanic rituals, no doubt.
100%. It turned on the Dockers more than it did the Eagles. Mm. I think the Eagles winning probably kept it alive, but the Dockers
didn't
losing.
Break a leg?
Oh, no, it did, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
it
did.
In fact, didn't it claim both of the West Coast forwards?
Yeah, it did, actually. Yeah, really. Yeah, now fair. It was angry that day.
I think you just didn't notice because West Coast went on to win a great grand final. Mm. Yeah. And Freo faded into obscurity where they deserve to be.
I think, unlike us, Hellhole has no bias.
No, correct. No. It just doesn't care who you are.
Yeah, just
as long as you're delicious.
Mm. It'd be really good if like Ross Lyon was walking out to the huddle and just like rolled an ankle.
Imagine him going down too, because he just walks in slow motion. So I imagine whenever he walks, he just looks like he's walking through water. So I imagine if he did an ankle, he'd go down really like he's in tar, just slowly, like a woolly mammoth being absorbed by an oil pit.
I never really noticed it until just now. He has a lot of characteristics of a turtle that's walking on two legs.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He does. He's got that kind of like...
Oh, my God. And he doesn't move like the Ninja Turtles, who are quite nimble.
No.
Like an actual turtle.
Probably hates pizza as well.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Loves garlic bread, though.
Loves it. Bloody loves it.
So...
Huge crowd, Tom.
Huge crowd. 18,000.
Yeah.
They got... really into it. The cheer.
It felt like more, didn't it, though?
It did. It felt like it was full.
When we arrived and we're going through the gate there, Geelong kicked their first goal.
Oh.
Dusha. Mate, I was outside the stadium. I was like, bloody hell. Are there 50,000 people in there? It was crazy.
It was... The best part, like, you knew it was going to be a good night. So we were sitting there and obviously the players came out to warm up. And this is well before the game. They're just in their tracksuit tops, like, warming up. And then they started to walk off at the end of the warm up. And the entire crowd stood and cheered them as they walked off for the warm-up.
Yep.
If you're one of those players, like these guys, a lot of them, we only have a couple of players who've played on AFLW list before.
Yep.
A lot of them won't have played in front of a crowd like that. There is no way that after you do your training warm-up and you hear that crowd that you're not coming out fucking firing as soon as the game starts.
I had trouble hearing the final siren.
Oh, really?
Was that bloody loud?
Well, you didn't have to worry. The scoreboard had the Channel 7 telecast and had a clock counting down on it.
Hmm.
So you could, which was good because it was less stressful.
Yeah.
But yeah, 1 point victory. Before we can dive into your review of my team and the town, a couple of big things for me. One, had a Milo ice cream. Bang. Tick.
Very happy for you, Tom.
Oh, it was so good.
Last week you said you were very excited for two things, for footy to be back and for you to be sitting in the heat eating a Milo ice cream because it was going to be very hot. I had to cool down.
I ate that Milo ice cream, and I was this close to getting a second.
I went hot jam donut, and it was a mistake.
Whoa,
you were in the sun too, weren't you?
Sure.
You were on the other side of the ground.
Yeah.
Did you even notice that it was a hot jam donut? Would have just been equal to fucking outside temperature.
Just eating the sun.
It wasn't great. It was not great.
We went some hot chips later. But my folks come very prepared. My mum made salad rolls. We had pre-cut cheese and bacon.
Oh, what are you, Barrack from Melbourne?
No, my mum just, it's not, we don't have a cheese board. Mum just gets like a big block of cheese, just chops it into little squares, puts it in a Tupperware container and brings some savoury shapes.
Sounds fucking great.
Thank you.
Sounds like you sat in the wrong seat, Sean.
Well, this bloke could have saved me a seat, didn't.
No chance.
The Geelong hospitality was no lacking.
Well, to be fair,
yes.
At the point in which you and I were communicating, the last I heard from you at about 20 past five was, mate, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I went, okay. You're not going to make it. That's fine.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden at 6, I got a message. We're on our way.
Yeah, well, you know.
By that stage.
I didn't think it was going to happen. Full.
Big things, though.
Yes.
So three great things. Nina Morrison, fucking gun.
Superstar.
Absolute jet. 22 touches and 8 or 9 tackles.
Number one draft pick.
Just looked. Oh, and of course, the match-winning point.
Hit the post.
Oh, the best point she'll ever kick.
Should have kicked that goal.
Yep. Hey, she will.
Should have gobbled that up.
Mate, round one.
But she looked very exciting.
Looks very good.
Couple
looks,
of bursts through the middle there.
Just looks like she knows what she's doing when she gets the football. Yeah, looks like
22 touches and 8 tackles.
Oh, it's unreal. Other big rap. Because you got to talk, do I get another jumper with another number on the back?
Ooh.
I think before I do, I'm going to get some badges just to rep to start with.
Yeah.
Thinking about who I'm going to get as your badge. Your obvious one is Nina.
Yeah.
She's the obvious candidate. You know, the captain. Now, guys, I'm locking in the number 11, Megan McDonald.
Yeah.
Played across the half back line. Took some huge marks early when Collingwood were trying to get going. And then when the game was on the line, was involved in, I think, about 5 passages of play as Geelong just held on to win.
Yep.
Big fan. Mm-hmm. Love a good defender just doing what defenders do.
Yeah.
It was great. Loved it. 10 out of 10. That's my first game of women's footy. And the more I've thought about it, the more excited I've been, in retrospect of how great it was.
I went in the first season down to Casey Fields to watch Brisbane versus Melbourne.
Yep.
And what I watched this weekend, the standard was fucking miles improved.
Yeah. Yeah. 3 years in, the skill level in general play has improved exponentially as more players go through the system. You look at it and go, imagine what's going to be like in another 5 years, another 6 years.
I think I've underrated the Collingwood team as well. They had some fucking good players, mate.
Their
forward line looks very dangerous, although they keep getting fucking injured, man. There were a few Lazarus moments in this game, Dusha. People who looked dead.
Returned.
And then came back and kicked huge goals.
Sarah Darcy went down with an ankle or a knee.
Alexander as well, I think.
She didn't come back, Sophie Alexander. That was her
first game. She kicked a huge fucking goal. She kicked one from probably nearly 50 metres.
Jesus.
First goal of the game. Her first goal. She was on the VFL list for Collingwood and got picked up. She looks very good.
So, just double checking, the AFLW ball is slightly smaller, isn't it?
I believe, it's a size down.
Yeah, that would make it harder to kick further because there's less weight behind it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's harder to kick further. It's also fucking hot. quarters are shorter, but the skill level was seeing it up close too was just, it's really exciting.
Was Darcy in the collision?
No, Darcy wasn't involved in the collision.
With Sharni?
No, that was Sophie Alexander.
Sophie Alexander.
That was Sophie, yeah. Just copped a stray elbow from former netballer, Sharni Layton.
Someone near me was like, that won't be the only one Sharni Layton kills this year. I actually quite liked her game.
Yeah.
She didn't win the tap work.
Aster O'Connor but smashed her
she
there.
Just, her presence around the ball.
Yeah.
I think she's realised I am later to the game than some of these other girls.
Yeah.
Having played, she was the Australian netball player.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she's come in.
You're not sold by the fact she's 6'100". Yeah.
But she's just gone, my strength is going to be just when the ball hits the ground, I'm just going to attack.
Yeah.
And it was fucking great. And I think she's going to have a good year.
She's going to be great. Another great Geelong player from another club is Clifford, who I believe was on the Melbourne list.
Yep.
She looks like an excitement machine. I think she played in defence when she was at Melbourne. She's playing as a small forward.
Yeah.
Kicked a cracking goal. Almost kicked 3 more cracking goals. Mm-hmm. Just had a go. It was very good.
Collingwood just had a lot of speed out of that back line.
Yeah, we lack a bit of pace.
Yeah.
But that's always been there. That was always the worry, was that bit of that speed. But it'll get there. There's a few players that, young players that Mel Hickey has said that, the captain has said that they're going to come in leaps and bounds.
Because you guys had a great second quarter, but sitting there watching it, I think the second half, I think Collingwood were the better team. So in some ways it might have been a bit of a lucky escape because they played really well.
I think they played well. I think it was weirdly, there was a bit of a breeze, and whoever had the breeze played well. So in the first quarter, Collingwood had the breeze, and we managed to kind of break even.
Yeah.
Second quarter, we had the breeze, took advantage. Third quarter, Collingwood had the breeze. Fourth quarter, we had the breeze. We just couldn't capitalize.
Mm-hmm.
But Sean,
yes,
fucking won. So
great win,
huge win. I got a Milo ice cream, and I have a new favorite player. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy, boy. Do you know? Actually, I've got an amazing stat.
There's always time for an amazing Tom stat. You love maths. And you love fucked stats, so I'm excited for what this could possibly be.
Do you know what? For a guy who is terrible at math, I love a good stat. So this is, AFL Barwon is the Geelong region for football. So they were just talking about the stats. One of the things they did before the game is that they got like, they would have been like under 12s or under 13s girls from every like local club, gave a guard of honour as the players ran out, which was really cool. So 2 years ago, before the first women's season, female participation in AFL Barwon sat at 59 players.
Yep.
So in all of Geelong, there were 59 players playing in the region.
Yep.
Start of this year, that has ballooned out to more than 1,600 players.
That's fucking huge.
There are so many people wanting to play in teams that they're almost at capacity for ground allocations in the region for teams to play football on.
Tom, that's one of your best stats.
That's a great stat. And that's why that's AFLW awesome. Is fucking great.
How good was it to sort of look? It was a different demographic, really, in the crowd.
Yep.
So many girls there. And the best thing, so many young girls who were just loving it. And
but a lot of young guys, young boys as well.
Yep.
Which is good.
A lot more kids.
A lot more kids. Really good. I guess because it was earlier.
Yeah.
It's summer, school holidays, but it was great. Yep. There was a girl a few rows down from us who was in an Elsa dress.
Yeah.
With a footy jumper over the top.
Like, that's fucking, very good.
Absolutely. So I'm probably going to try to get my hands on an Elsa dress and wear it for the next game.
Any frustrating bullshit, Tom?
Yes. Okay.
Because I got one too.
I'd like to, before you go to yours,
yeah.
I want to find the man who invented thunder sticks or whatever the fuck those inflatable sticks are. I'd like to find him and choke him to death with one of his sticks.
In the bin.
They are the most annoying things in the world, and they are just kindling to the fire that is three fucking shitty children and their useless parents who sat behind them. And at one point, one of these kids was clapping her sticks over this woman with a baby
in
front of her, squealing at Joel Selwood, who was doing a boundary line interview. Parents, they're just eating their fucking fried peas in their little, like, vegan snack foods.
Those parents.
In the bin with their clapping sticks.
Huge fuckwits.
Yep.
I hate that.
Like, at one point, I thought we were going to be okay because one of the dads took one of the clapping sticks off so, you know, they couldn't clap because they were being really obnoxious with them. And look, I don't mind kids getting into the footy, but they were just screaming.
Yep.
High-pitched, squealing. Not at the footy, just at halftime at Joel Selwood being interviewed. And there's a woman in front of them with a little, like, 3 or 4-year-old having a great time. But they are literally hitting her in the head with these clapping sticks as they're gesticulating. My mum nearly got up and punched a child.
Would have loved it.
What was yours? Clapping stick related?
It wasn't clapping stick related, but as soon as I got to the ground and there's a guy handing them out, I went, fuck me, I hate these things.
Tell you what was good,
though. You come to the MCG, you'll never see those because they're non-recyclable, so we don't do them anymore.
Two things were handed out.
Yep.
Hell sticks.
Yep.
And a flyer, a coupon, if you will. If Geelong win, 5 cents off per litre at Shell petrol stations.
Four.
Amazing.
Mm.
That's great.
Do you get to show a membership or something? Is that part of the perk? Or?
No, I think it's just if Geelong, if it's it's a thing for the whole season. So if the AFLW team wins or if the men's team win, 5 cents per litre off.
That home ground advantage, I'm going to be filling. Okay, I'll drive down the highway on an empty tank.
Yeah.
We'll win. I'll just drive and fill up on the way home.
Imagine if you lose, though.
It'll be.
I'll be staying in Geelong.
It's like a petrol version of roast and toast. I had about 20 teenage girls sitting in front of us.
Yep.
I think they were friends with one of the Collingwood players.
Mm-hmm.
So already I was like, wrong team. One of the girls had this, like, bigger than usual scarf.
Yep.
And she kept holding it up because she tried for basically the duration of a whole quarter to get on TV.
Oh, no.
And it was blocking so many people and she would not stop. She wasn't even paying attention to the game. She was just screaming and screaming and screaming and holding up this scarf.
Was there a cameraman near you?
To get on TV. We're on the TV side of the ground and all her friends were egging her on. We're like, we can do it. Oh, let's go. Let's go. Get on the camera. Hated it.
Sean?
Hated it. Didn't say anything. Feel like a coward. Should have said stuff. People, I thought someone else was going to because we weren't as affected as some other people. They just moved. They chose to move. They didn't want to fight it out.
Well, I mean, you could sit anywhere.
Yep. Yeah. And
you could have moved.
Yep, but I like being able to complain and be frustrated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if it was Geelong, if it was a Geelong scarf, I would have been like, fair play.
Well, these were Collingwood. Geelong supporters, and they were still doing my head in.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anyway.
Next game?
That's my team in my town.
Yep. You're fucking down.
How many?
I've heard so much. Yeah. Quick review. I've heard so much about the big sexy land.
Your first time in Geelong. You saw the big sexy land.
First time. We're driving into Geelong, and my girlfriend goes, there it is. And I'm like, what? Snapped a photo. And surely then we had a discussion. We were like, is that it? Is that, are we in Geelong yet? Because that's not a big sexy land. That's a regular sized sexy land, Tom. Mate, it's not big. You've been talking it up. What the fuck?
It's a big sexy land.
No, it's not.
Have you seen another sexy land? They're always pretty big.
No.
It's the Dusha, it's the smallest one I've ever seen.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
You know
Don't
what?
Question the size of my sexy land.
Tom, it's small.
Okay, I didn't think I was going to get personally attacked when I came in today, but
there you go. I'll go take a photo of my local sexy land and then we'll figure it out from there.
I'll take a photo of my local one. It won't fit in the frame.
It's out of control. There's one in my work too. One in my work is enormous. I've never seen a store that big.
This conversation has taken a bleak turn.
You got to get outside of Geelong, mate, and experience bigger sexy land.
I live in Melbourne.
Oh, fucking hell. That's no excuse.
You need to open your eyes, mate. There's sexy lands so everywhere, and they're big.
Can we stop trashing my sense of scale when it comes to sexy land and go to the next game, please?
All right, next game. The second game of the season also came down to 1 point, where Adelaide Crows lost to the Western Bulldogs by a behind.
I didn't watch this game because I was driving back from Geelong, and the only song I could play was the Geelong theme song.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's fair. The radio only plays that.
That's all. Yeah, I tune into Special Sexy Land Radio, and that's all they were doing. But the Crows will be kicking themselves, because from what I saw and read, they dominated every facet of the game except the scoreboard.
Well, they went...
111 or 112 or something like that.
They were 11 points up going into the... just before halftime. Which doesn't sound like that much until you know that the final scores were 17 plays 18.
Yep. It's a killer.
That's an out-of-control comeback by the Doggies.
And
in a short season, where every win is massive.
That could hurt the Crows.
If I was an Adelaide Crows supporter right now, I'd be embarrassed.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, you should just be as proud of your club as you are of the men's club and their weird mind camps.
Yeah.
Did the women's club go on a mind camp?
Oh, no.
No!
I hope not.
I hope not as well.
Who's their goal-kicking coach?
Tex Walker.
Oh, no! Ebony Marinoff had a huge game.
Oh,
24 touches, most of the round.
Yep.
And, outside of Nina from Geelong.
She also laid 11 tackles.
A massive game.
Yeah, just starting where she left off.
She would be disappointed they couldn't pinch the win.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, that loss will hurt, and that sucks. But it was a great game to watch.
Do you know it would be a worse loss, though, Dusha?
If you move on to the North Melbourne Kangaroos, who played their first game of AFLW, and they absolutely steamrolled the Blues.
You'd have to be an absolute dickhead to tip Carlton.
Hey, Sean, who'd you tip?
Carlton. I've got to be honest. Since this game, I've read a lot of things where people are like, Carlton's a weaker team. They're probably not going to have the best year. And I'm like, what article did I read? That was super... it must have been written by a Carlton
website. Do you know what?
It was very positive.
There was a double-page spread in the Herald Sun written by Darcy Vessio about how Carlton were going to go better this year, and she plays for Carlton.
I read something online, and it was like they've got a really good forward line. And I think they do. They've got a couple of good players in the forward line.
Well, Vessio, who's the leading goal scorer, I think, for the AFLW, and Taylor Harris.
And what we found out, though, is the midfield is very lacking.
What we found out...
against a star-studded team.
Yeah, what we found out was a club built of TCs...
Yeah.
We'll beat it.
A club that some genius predicted will win every game this season.
Can I just tell you something, Dusha? Do you want to know what the North Melbourne percentage is after this game?
Let's start with Carlton's percentage after this game. Sean, have you seen the ladder?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Okay, so you know their percentages?
I know that North's is massive.
So Carlton are currently sitting on 30%.
Yeah, yeah.
North Melbourne are 100 times that at 325.
That's great.
Wait, that's not math. That's not math.
No. Nope.
10 times.
Yep.
Their percentage is 300,000.
Their percentage is as big as you are dumb.
Yep. Huge.
Yep.
So that was massive. I watched that game and yeah, from halftime. So we would, last week on our podcast, we discussed whether North Melbourne might take a little bit to kick into gear. They did. They took a little bit of time, Tom.
How long did they take?
Yeah.
About a quarter.
About 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. 15 minutes. And then they were just like, we should get the ball to our good players.
We're really good.
But it was literally the cream rose. Like, Carney started getting the ball. Mo Hope started just attacking everything. Ashmore started running off half back. Duffin started playing. Like, all the players that they recruited to be good for that reason lifted.
Yep. Third highest score of the round was by North Melbourne. Brings you to the next game, the one at KC Fields, which was the highest scoring game of the season so far.
In the hottest conditions too.
Basically in a fireball.
I've been to that stadium before in summer. It is a hellhole there. Yeah. Like, it's so hot there. It's ridiculous.
Well, Tom...
There's no shade.
Tom was saying that he works with someone that went to the game and was just like...
It was hot.
It was just disgusting.
Do you know what was hot? The quality of play.
Whoa. Whoa.
Look, like, people had the big knock on AFLW by morons is that, oh, it's not good enough. It's not the same, exactly the same as the men's comp, which has been around for over 150 years.
Yeah.
No, it's not. But if you look at like the BBL as like a measuring stick, the first season of BBL, there was something like 40 sixes hit. And then in the last season, they had like 280. So the growth is those numbers I've just pulled out my ass.
Yeah.
But it's about that growth.
Yeah.
This game, though, 9 goals by both sides or 7 goals and 9 goals by one side?
9-8.
It was 8 goals, 7 plays, 9 goals, 5.
And fast, frantic footy. Dockers look good.
Oh, they look a little bit scary.
They do.
Just in the early stages, oh boy.
And they finally got a lot of their... The issue they've had is I don't think they've had like players that they recruited for year one. They haven't been able to get them on the park. So for them to...
They haven't had continuity.
No. And they're going to be dangerous because no one's recruiting Western Australian players away from Western Australia.
Yeah.
So...
They've got the pick.
Until next year
when West Coast come in.
Well, I think actually West Coast are a year again away.
Are they?
I think it's Richmond, St Kilda, Gold Coast, and then West Coast come in when Essendon come in.
Essendon and Hawthorn.
Yeah, I think so. I think those three come in.
Melbourne had a monstrous third quarter.
Oh.
They kicked 5 goals to none. I thought it was over. Well, to be honest, we spoke at halftime, and it was like, how are Melbourne going to come back? They're 20 points down.
Yeah.
They're fucked.
And then
they lifted.
To be fair, 4-goal breeze.
Yeah, the breeze. Like, the majority of the goals were kicked with that breeze.
Into the wind, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Melbourne needed one more and they probably would have won.
Yep, pretty much.
Like, in that third quarter, one more. But, I mean, they played really well. There's improvement there and it's always going to be hard for them to adjust because Freo lost, like, no players. They've got pretty much their whole list. Whereas Melbourne, no Pierce. Mel Hickey's at Geelong. There's someone else has gone to, I want to say, North Melbourne probably picked up a couple.
No, they would have.
So, you know, it's a different look side.
Yeah. Well, they've, I think, dispelled the rumour of no Pierce, no Melbourne.
They have, because they
turned it on. That quarter is the best, one of the best I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
It was awesome.
And on to the final game of the round. Brisbane Lions takes on GWS.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
How much did you win by, mate?
Oh, 2 points.
Fuck yes.
Oh, it was good. I couldn't watch all of it, but I watched bits and pieces and I was watching the last quarter. And fucking hell, it was exciting, Tom.
She's Sabrina's girl?
Mate, she is a machine. I love her. Her third quarter, it's almost the best I've seen her play. She's had games before where she's kicked like 3 goals, but she just dominated and lifted the team. Because you messaged me at halftime and said, need a lift here, mate.
And they did.
And they fucking came out firing.
She got in the lift and she pressed highest floor, please, sir.
Yep. You know who I love? Wooshner.
Oh.
3 goals.
Gun.
She's so clever.
Is she playing in long sleeves?
Yep.
Why?
No. Oh, she might have been. There was a few playing in long sleeves.
It wasn't a cost.
Protect you from...
Tom. Yeah, sunscreen, but a shirt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Slip, slop, slap, idiot. What slip on a long sleeve shirt?
Is that what the slip is? I thought slip was sunscreen.
Slop sunscreen.
What's slap?
Hat. Slap on a hat.
I've always just known the slogan and just knew that it meant be safe in the sun, but not what the individual parts of that slogan meant.
Come on, mate. Anyway, Wooshner's leading the goal.
Mate, anything down in Geelong? You don't know how big things are. You don't know what slip, slop, slap means. Fuck! Thomas!
Do you know what I do know, guys? I know how good footy is.
You know how good a win feels.
Yep.
Wooshner's leading the goal kicking.
Three,
yeah. Really awesome.
Yeah.
So clever around the ball. She's from Tassie, so it's interesting that she was not poached. I wonder if they came after her pretty hard, because she was all Australian last year.
See the interview, though, that she gave, where she's like, no, I'm staying.
Yeah, I love her.
She
loyalty.
Yeah, she. It was a pointed comment, too, after Ashmore had just announced she was going to move.
Yes.
She came out and was like, no, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm in for the long haul.
But no, Brisbane, they just looked really exciting. There's a lot of heart. GWS didn't play as well as they could have.
They had a couple of chances late too to pinch it.
They did. Oh, I love Sam Virgo. She plays in Brisbane backline. missed all of last year with a knee injury. I think she hasn't played for Brisbane or played any footy. I think it was something close to 600 days or something like that. So she's been out for ages. Absolutely awesome. She'll be all Australian this year. Lock that in, Thomas.
Was it her who was...
She got short hair.
Took like 4 or 5 marks in that last quarter when GWS kept coming and coming and coming.
She did you watch the last couple of minutes?
Yeah.
She grabbed it, took somebody on, got drilled in a tackle, should have probably been holding the ball.
Ooh.
With 20 seconds left, GWS should have been kicking into the 50. Umpire didn't call it. Brisbane dodged a bullet. And sitting first in Conference A.
Yeah, and I think we're second in Conference B.
Yeah.
This is how weird the conference system is that there are 3 teams that have won in Conference A and there's 2 teams that have won in Conference B.
Yeah.
That's right.
I've seen a ladder that's just all of them combined. So North are first, Brisbane are second.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
North, Brisbane, Frio, Western Bulldogs, Geelong, Collingwood, Adelaide, Melbourne, GWS, Carlton.
Would you, I'd argue that that ladder is irrelevant. It should just be Conference A, Conference B.
Yeah, I think so.
Actually, yeah, that is...
Like, what's the point of having that complete ladder? Because it doesn't mean anything.
Bragging rights.
I guess, but...
Like...
All that matters is that Brisbane and Geelong are 1 and 2 in Conference B, and North and...
Frio
probably?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, but if you look at the conference ladder, it's actually got numbers next to them. So, Kangaroos are 1, Brisbane are 2, Frio 3, Western Bulldogs 4, Geelong 5.
Oh, you know why it's important? It'll count for draft picks, presumably?
Possibly.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Sensible. Clever.
Yeah.
Good work. Do you know who's on the bottom?
Carlton.
Oh,
go Brisbane.
Oh.
Just beautiful. It also shows, too, don't hold too much stock in practice games.
Yeah.
Where we got destroyed by GWS and then we've come out and pinched a win.
That brings me to the last 2 things I want to talk about before our hour is up. 1, how we go with the tipping. I know that I got 3 out of 5 because,
hey,
I bought into the Melbourne team. I was like, look, they're going to play really well. And I also bought into something else, Sean, and I need to apologize because I was on 3 from 3 and saw some of the practice game.
Do you TC on the boys?
Brisbane were looking too slow, Tom.
Look, mate.
And I mean these boys.
And
the girls.
Yes.
Oh, look, it's tipping, mate.
Yeah.
I'll back Brisbane always. You do. You follow your heart.
I will.
And this time your heart was fucking wrong.
My heart cooked it.
Sean, would you be as forgiving if I had a tipped against Brisbane and lost the tip?
You would have been fucking out of my life. Excommunicated, just like your brother.
Yeah, all right.
I got 2. The one that killed me, I tipped Adelaide. And did you both?
That's the one that killed you?
That's the one that killed you.
Are you sure?
I think there was another one that killed you about a game in Tasmania where you bought into...
That straight up killed me. Every now and then, look, there's 5 games. One of them, you've just got to, you know, have a swing.
Yep.
I had a swing. I read a bad article. It praised Carlton. I'll never go there again.
It was written by Mick Malthouse as part of his ongoing war on Carlton.
Sleeper agent Mick Malthouse.
I'm actually beating Dusha in the tips.
We tipped the same winning margin.
Yeah, but I'm ahead of you.
Yeah, look.
What did you tip as the margin?
10 points.
10. Yeah, I went Geelong by 8.
Ooh,
I'm going to go a bit more conservative and go 4 for the next one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was trying to play it. I was like, I know that the AFLW doesn't have a history of being super high scoring. I was like, 10 seems safe. Do you want to know what the average winning margin of this week's games was?
1 point.
Well, no, it would have been bloated because of the Carlton result.
It was 8.8 points.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
But imagine if you take Carlton out of that.
Yeah, that's with North Melbourne winning by 36 points.
And having a percentage of 325.
So the average winning margin was 8, would 9 points, and one team won by 36 points.
All right, well, who are we tipping this week then?
All right, so we have GWS taking on the freight train that is North Melbourne. That's an easy one for me. It's North.
Yeah, me too, North.
I'm going to go North.
Collingwood take on Melbourne.
Oh.
This could go either way. My heart says Melbourne, and that's what I'm going with.
My heart says it's a Victoria Park. It's going to be a Collingwood win, baby, and I'm not happy about it.
I'm going to back Melbourne.
Never back for Collingwood, mate. I can't believe you'd pick him.
Shut up. All right, VU Witten Oval.
Geelong.
Geelong take on Western Bulldogs.
This is a tough one.
Mate, 2 words. Nina Morrison.
I'm going to go, for that reason, Geelong.
Yes.
I'm going to go Western Bulldogs.
Why? Why would you pick the reigning premiers at their home ground against a team that's only played 1 game of AFLW in its entire history?
That's a great question, Tom. It's just really, really hard to say.
I believe in you.
And
a
as
piece
the
of
reigning
shit.
Champ of our footy tipping competition, I need to be conservative, even though I'm middle of the pack now.
Mate, You're near me, and that's bad.
That's bad. So we got Carlton taking on Adelaide at Icon Park.
Adelaide. Not bad. There's no way they'll do that 2 weeks in a row, right?
And Frio take on Brisbane at Fremantle Oval.
Ooh.
I'm going to go...
The math would suggest a Frio win.
But what would the heart suggest?
The heart will always think Brisbane.
Sean?
Yeah.
My heart's purple.
Oh!
Look, I learned from my mistakes. Frio.
You're going to have vindication next week when we're both wrong.
Or...
Hope so.
When, we'll pile in on
you. Yeah. Either way. All right, and so we often read out emails and stuff like that in the show, but because this has been a big episode and it's the first round of the season, we don't have a lot to read at the moment. But, Tom, if people want to get in contact with the show, how do they do that?
They can send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at howgoodsfooty. That's also the way you can join our tipping competition. There is a link on that page there with a password. Jump in, beat Dusha. You can do it. We believe in
you. So the AFLW tipping season has obviously started. Yep. So if you're a little bit late to that and you don't want to join, that's fair enough. But we will be doing another one for the AFL 2019 season.
There's prizes for both. And if you want to hassle us individually, I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
And I'm at Douche 13.
How good's footy?
So good.
Tell you what, I'm glad it's back.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.